Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my cheese and onion crisps. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Oh, it's lovely to have you with us, Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's also here.
Hello, Marcus.
And I am Marcus Speller. We're without Luke Moore.
But he's gone
fear
away.
Not. We are going to give you one Gordon Bennetting brilliant show. Right, let's move on to the FA Cup quickly before I talk more nonsense. Reading versus Crystal Palace, Jim. It's the first FA Cup tie of the weekend. Could this be a giant killing? See, or is it just a killing?
This game's on Friday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what that says to me is Palace win. Alan Pardew is the king of Friday night. Mm. Alan Pardew or Brian McDermott on a Friday night. Who's having a better time?
Pardew, so motivated,
so up for it. Just wants the game out of the way. Lads, smash them. We can get back down Crystals.
I don't know. When you say who's going to have a better time, you remember that clip of McDermott singing, was it Knocking on Heaven's Door?
No, I don't. Wow.
What was it about? Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
No, not in the slightest.
Brian McDermott on a guitar singing Knocking on Heaven's... I think it was Knocking on Heaven's Door. He got well into it, and I thought to myself, do you know what, old Big Bri?
Well, I can imagine him maybe down an open mic night on a Tuesday.
Nobody wants that on a Friday
night.
I know. I don't know what you get up to, Spelsy, but...
I'll go out with Big Bri. Best night of his life, he
down the open mic, lovely.
I tell you what.
Do you think Reading can have this?
Of course I do.
You know, they've got some pedigree in the FA Cup, in recent years. Is this their fourth quarter-final in seven seasons? That's true. Pardew also likes visiting an old club, doesn't he? So he's doing that again.
Yep.
Do you mean an old nightclub?
Yeah.
Well, oh, I remember
anything. Yeah.
Got a couple of stories for you.
Any kind of club. So actually, Palace have beaten Southampton, Stoke and Spurs on this run. So, this might actually be the whole cliche of them having a bit of a break from their terrible league form. And also, it would be really Pardew because he'd get loads of credit, but also wouldn't be arresting the slump, which I'm sure, Pete, you... Would agree is very, very Alan.
Well, my piece in the New Day Daily Mirror spin-off newspaper was quite unequivocal on the matter, frankly. He finds it very hard to arrest a slump.
He does.
Or a slide.
All of them.
Yeah.
I think Reading will be loving that one. If you think about the rest of the teams that are in the competition, you've got the two United, Man and West Ham, Arsenal, Watford, Everton and Chelsea. So at home to Crystal Palace was the perfect draw, really, for Reading.
Yeah.
I think that would have what they would have loved, and they've certainly got it. And that kicks off the FA Cup's entertainment for the weekend's action, which is going to be marvellous, because Everton versus Chelsea, surely there's goals there.
You would think.
Everton likes scoring and conceding goals.
Yeah, I don't know if they like conceding goals.
Okay.
They just seem to just not know how to not do it.
Yeah, I mean, we were quite, or Luke more specifically perhaps, was quite critical of Martinez on the show earlier on in the week, of course. And there were very fair points that Luke was making. And I just wonder, actually, if Martinez, they finish in a mid-table position in the league, they go out of the cup earlier than they would have liked...
Mm.
Will his job be in danger come
the summer?
I do
wonder about this, yeah. I think it really could be. We spoke about this earlier in the season as well. It's just that they seem to be... They're still having this thing where, like, I said this to a friend of mine at the weekend. Like, I asked him to say where Everton are in the Premier League, and he's someone who knows his stuff, and he said 8th when they were, I think, 12th at the time. And there's still this perception that they're doing a little bit better than they are. And I think with this fixture in particular, Chelsea are going to throw everything at the FA Cup because it's their only realistic chance of, you know, actually... you know, making something of this season. And Chelsea are very good at that, still winning something in a season that's otherwise disappointing. And Everton are just shipping goals. Costa's really in form. I think that might get smashed, you know.
Mm. Yeah, will Costa play there? Because he went off last night, didn't he?
True.
Which was a great shame.
He was amazing last night.
I mean, that goal against Paris Saint-Germain was beautifully taken. Mm. And Costa really has picked up the pace. You do think Chelsea lack a little bit up top without him, of course.
But you'd imagine they'd have enough to smash Everton, especially they just can't seem to keep goals out. And I think we can always sort of tell whether something's hit a nerve when we get Twitter responses about the show and what Luke said about Martinez and how no one's really noticed that he's not, you know, covered himself in glory wherever he's been. A lot of Everton fans have sort of tweeted and gone, yeah, massively.
Yeah,
and
really
nobody seems to have noticed. Yeah. And it's one of those clubs where they're not on telly all the time, so people don't notice quite so much the deficiencies in the side. But yeah, with the personnel they've got, they should really be doing a lot better. A Chelsea win is 9-5 on bet365.com. If you put £10 down, you get £28 back. So it's not a bad bet for me.
No. I mean, I think they're quite dazzling up front, aren't they, with Lukaku and De La Feu and Barkley. And it just masks the problems they have at the back.
Yeah, and it's a shame because they've got good players at the back. I mean, Stones is obviously the one that most talks about.
They don't make sense, do they, Everton? That's the strange thing. You look at them on paper, and they should be higher up the league, but you know.
But Martinez has won the FA Cup before.
Well, yeah, still hanging his hat on it.
As have Chelsea.
Yeah, loads of times.
Recently as well. And Hudding does love a cup competition with them. Arsenal are playing Watford, Jim.
Yes.
Do we bother using the term banana skin here?
I think
it's a banana peel.
Now's the point of the season where
this is a potential banana peel, Jim.
Now's the point where you might as well call this point of the season for Arsenal like banana boot time. Do you know what I mean? They're actually wearing potential banana skins on their feet, slipping up all over the place. So yeah,
but Alexis Sanchez, is he going to take the game by the scruff and become banana man?
Well, let's hope so. He scored against Tottenham, got back on the score sheet, which is a very important thing for Sanchez because he has been sort of struggling to get back into form and fitness. Ramsey could well be out for 6 weeks, according to the reports, which is
standard.
A bit annoying. Yes, it's absolutely normal and completely not surprising, but a real blow because that takes some creativity out of the midfield. So I guess what Wenger is pretty much going to have to do now is start Coquelin and Elneny, or perhaps Flamini, and make that quite a sort of tough central midfield, which in a way might actually be a good way to play for the run-in of the season. But it's another problem. This is a game I certainly think Arsenal can win. This is definitely a potential banana skin. It's, you know, things certainly aren't as bad as everyone's making out. They're going to lose every game, but because Watford as well, the goals have dried up for them a little bit. So
Igalo's been off the ball.
He has.
I see this as a draw, 1-1.
Another game.
That's what I was thinking, because they don't want more games.
Another game, Bellerin injured.
Well, if you want the draw, it's 3-1. £10 gets you £40 plus your stake back on bet365.com. So, I think that's what I'd go for.
But then they had a good win away to Hull, didn't they? And this was after a secret squad meeting.
What's that about?
Yeah,
how is that allowed?
They had a secret squad meeting, according to Theo Walcott, without Arsene Wenger to stop the rot ahead of the FA Cup win at Hull. You would imagine that if you wanted to stop the rot at a club, the manager would be quite crucial to the chat.
Well, but I don't think this is a bad thing at all. I think it's a good thing. The players should be doing everything they can to arrest a situation like this.
And they did.
Indeed. There's been a bit of criticism for this. I think it's fine. It's good. Clearly they care, you know, they're actually trying to do something about it. And
should they go public on secret meetings?
Well, that's a weird thing. Yeah, it was Theo Walcott that mentioned it in his post-match interview, didn't he? But obviously he doesn't think it's that big a deal. Obviously they don't feel that Wenger's going to have a problem with it. So I think it's maybe, you know, been made into something it's probably not.
Are secret meetings harder to cover up now, Jim?
How would we know?
Yeah, that's very true. They could be happening all the time. Maybe Luke's having one with himself right now. There was a big banner at the KC Stadium in the away end saying
like
it's time for Wenger to move on. Ian Wright wasn't happy with this.
I was so proud of Wright.
He got into an exchange on Twitter, as is his wont, that one of the fans who held up the banner apparently said, maybe you should respect the fans who have a voice and want change. I held it up. Why don't you say it to me, mate? Well, presumably because Ian Wright's not with the guy at the time.
Yeah. But he did say it to him, didn't he, Marcus?
He certainly replied. He responded saying, I'll disrespect you all day long, unfurling your muggy banner. Great use of the word muggy there. After a 4-0 win and plenty enough games to win the league. Oh. I mean, I love that.
You I think it's great.
Don't say that to my face. I can't. You're on Twitter.
Yeah, but I will still call you an idiot.
Yeah, I'm throwing muggy banner.
I mean, we've often said that, you know, no one likes to hear booing, but fans pay their money and they have the option to basically do whatever they want in the stadium. Mm. And the same is, I suppose, true of banners. But it's embarrassing. And I think, you know, fans do need to kind of shout those people down, because regardless of what you think of the manager, you shouldn't turn up to a game and actively try to create a bad atmosphere. If you're doing that, you can't really claim that you're actually supporting the team. You know, it's ridiculous.
Just mealy mouth and pathetic. I've brought in. I've carried from the car.
Yeah. I didn't even use a bed sheet, but it printed.
I was going to say, don't ruin a good bed sheet.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
probably
at least
cheaper,
you sleep on
isn't it? You get a new bed sheet, put a Sharpie on it, saves all on the printing costs. I mean, I should be encouraging these people, but
how do you write your banners?
Yeah. Well, you know, for a fact, it'll just end next to a bag of cement in somebody's garage, and every time they walk past, they're just going to go, ugh, remember when I did that stupid thing as a grown man?
I wonder what happens to all the banners.
Yeah,
there should be like a scrapyard for them.
Should we ban banners?
No.
If you've got a banner of any description in your house, we want to hear from you. Yeah, short at thefootballramble.com.
Pete Donaldson at Absolute Radio.
If you've ever written a banner, do get in touch. Tell us just what was going through in your head at the time and how much you regret it now.
Especially if you then didn't take the banner. If you just got a bed sheet that's got something really aggressive written on it and thought, you know what? Now I look at this, I feel silly.
Did your brain get the better of you before the banner was unfurled? Your muggy banner was unfurled. Manchester United are at home to West Ham. The Hammers will fancy this one.
I really fancy them to get something from it as well.
Manchester United tired from the Europa League trip to Liverpool.
And also, as well, the thing is, West Ham United, that is, they're just approaching the big games with such relish this season. They absolutely love it. But United's confidence seems very, very fragile, doesn't it? I don't really know how Bilic will play this. He could absolutely fly at United to try and unsettle them, but also just be patient and have faith in the quality he has in players like Dimitri Payet and pick them off that way. And it's quite a rare thing that you can see a number of ways in which Man United can be got at, which, you know, was very much not the case in the past.
And also, Bilic really likes the cup. He was again unequivocal about the importance of the FA Cup. He's gone, I can hold up the cup. If I win the cup, I can hold up the cup. I'm not going to win the league, but I can hold up a cup.
You can't hold up a Champions League qualification spot.
You can't. No. You can hold up a big check.
It is not a trophy.
We've tried and we failed there. No. West Ham obviously good on the road as well. And Manchester United, having played Liverpool, it will be interesting to see if there are some niggly injuries from that one. You would imagine it would be quite high-octane
stuff.
Some
missing teeth.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But West Ham are the type of team that you look at in this FA Cup. Look at the teams left. You know, Reading, of course, you can't imagine them winning it. Crystal Palace have been out of sorts as well. Obviously not in the Cup, but they're still in the hat. That's why we're talking about them. Mm. Everton, leaking goals. Chelsea not had a great season. Arsenal.
Unpredictable,
although probably favourites at the moment, because obviously they're the holders and whatnot. Watford, again, Manchester United and West Ham would fancy that. But West Ham are the same team that people will be having a crafty bet on them, you would imagine.
Well, Man United are the favourites, but if you want to put £10 on West Ham to win, they are 31-10, and that'll get you £41 back with Bet365 plus your stake. So there we go.
There we are. We're going to talk about the Premier League after this.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The three's company, but four's a ramble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. There is some Premier League action to be talked about. Before we do that, let's talk about the ticket prices. They're going to be capped, the away ticket prices, they're going to be capped at £30 for the next for 3 seasons, which it is good news. I know we'd rather have 20, because 20's plenty, but 30 seems to be unanimously accepted. Well, it is unanimously accepted by all the clubs. it's a step in the right direction, Jim.
Yeah, it is a step in the right direction, but I hope it doesn't mean that, you know, the powers that be go, no, look, you've had your ticket reduction, you've had your reasonable price, now stop asking us about
after 3 years,
we're just going to keep charging loads.
After 3 years, it's going to be like 90 quid.
Yeah.
We're making up for it. No, that's not what we meant.
Well, the next thing for them to work on is subsidised travel, I think, in many ways.
Well, apparently that was...
train tickets just going up and up and up and up.
That was on the agenda, but it was something that the £30 price... that the ticket price cap was decided upon instead. So, yeah, maybe that will be something in the future because, you know, train tickets are obscene.
And they're not getting any better. They just get worse
absolutely
and worse
not. They don't take things like this into account, obviously, because why would they? So, yeah, but, you know, Everton have announced that they're reducing season ticket prices next season. West Ham have announced a very, very cheap season ticket for next season as well. But, you know, a friend of mine who supports West Ham has said, yeah, don't be too fooled by that because I think there might only be five of them. But still, you know, there are clubs doing this. Arsenal have added a discount to the £30 away cap by making their most expensive ones £26 and capping it themselves. So, you know, it is good, but there's still a way to go. Basically, I would like a free season ticket. Yeah. Until that happens... This is nonsense.
You live in Brighton.
I will travel. It cost me £15 to get a travel card and return. And
oh,
I would, yeah.
Get on. Why don't you just go and watch Brighton? Why don't you support Brighton? Your home club.
All right, fine then.
Take that.
Not a man. Not about the local economy. Yeah. Jim Campbell.
Take that, Houghton.
Honestly,
is he still there? He's
the
still
amount
there,
of coffee I buy in Brighton.
Make up
station.
For it. It's good news. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Leicester City. Let's move on to the football. Leicester City, they host Newcastle. The Magpies could have a new manager soon. At the time of recording, Steve McLaren is still the manager and Rafa Benitez is still talking to the powers that be.
It's sounding a little bit Charlie Adams.
McLaren's on the board, right?
Yeah.
At Newcastle United. Is he in the discussions with Rafa Benitez?
No, he's not, is he?
Let's have a little vote.
That's what's been quite funny about a lot of the coverage. It's been about where physically where he's been and where you know other various members of the board have been. He's in London, so they've not physically seen each other. They've had a chat on the phone.
It was in York, I think. I think that's where the preliminary meeting. And then I think they cancelled a face-to-face. Charnley cancelled a meeting with him. And just it's all, I mean, why put him on the board if he can't vote himself into a job?
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. If there's five of them on the board. So, the results are in. Four say yes to Benitez. Yeah. Predictably, one says no. But,
the one would have been Mike Ashley because you'd have to pay him.
That's true.
Yeah.
But if they're all around the table or they're all in a room together discussing it and talking to Benitez, is McLaren like sneaking around the back of everybody going... Let's keep McLaren.
Yeah. Presumably, I mean, as we say, he's not invited to this meeting, so it's got to be a horrible feeling when normally you'd be at the board meeting, there's a series of bad results, then there's a board meeting, but you can't come to it. What's that going to be about?
Can I take minutes? No.
Imagine if, like, McLaren had left his laptop in the meeting room and he just popped back in to get it and there's Benitez being talked to by everybody.
Of all the people.
What?
I mean, you must be delighted with that if it actually comes off, though, Pete, because realistically, he's the best manager available.
I think I just mouthed Charlie Adam. I meant Charlie Austin. Remember when Charlie Austin was supposed to go to Newcastle and that seemed to drag on for months and months? I mean, Newcastle have a history of not getting people over the line, so I will reserve my comments.
Is it still dragging on? Because obviously he's now gone to Southampton. Is he sort of
taking the Shearer route? Is he the new Alan Shearer?
Yeah, maybe.
That's in the wrong direction to Newcastle.
He's going
to
go just south. Okay. Via Africa and then round again.
Oh, he's going the long way around.
He's going the long way around.
Yeah, fair
enough. Yeah, I mean, I think we were saying just before the show, I think I said that it's the first proper manager that's been linked, or certainly looks like he might take the job since Robson, really. Yeah. I mean,
Apardew's a proper manager.
Get out, Marcus. The caliber of manager that we should have been interviewing when Houghton left. That's the person who should. That's the sort of manager we should have been going. But somebody made the joke on Twitter that. Rafa started the season with Ronaldo and ended the season with
Obertan.
With Gabriel Obertan. And then somebody else wrote, yeah, so did Man United.
They've
done that before.
That is nice.
I mean, Benitez, interestingly as well, he will actually be a manager. That's one of the crucial things that's, you know, been lost. In terms of his position, Marcus.
Jim, you're right in saying that. That's how ridiculous
it
is.
McLaren's been the head coach, and that's been the case, isn't it? They don't have the degree of control that a full-on manager would have. And apparently that's something that Benitez is very, very likely to have. It could a bit more control from a you know individual who actually knows what he's doing is clearly what Newcastle need. Mm. It looks like there's just way too many weird influences that are all clueless, leading to Newcastle being in the situation they're in. And it'd be really interesting to see what happens if Benitez comes in. I think if he were to come in and Newcastle were to go down, I don't think he'd stick around.
No, I don't think he would.
But
at all.
If Newcastle stay up with Benitez in charge, the TV money coming in next season, Denis Cheryshev available because Benitez will play him anywhere. It makes Newcastle quite an exciting prospect.
What I would say is that him coming in, there's a lot of players who have delusions of grandeur, and I think that sort of manager being on the bench will help Sissoko.
What, because he's got them as well?
Well, Sissoko genuinely believes he's a Champions League player.
Yeah.
He's fundamentally not at the moment.
Maybe they should just play the Champions League music as Newcastle run out, and it will motivate them.
Yeah, does exactly.
Does he know the Championship and the Champions League are two different things?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, maybe.
But you're right, though. I think if Rafa Benitez comes in there, and what you were saying, Jim, if he can keep them up, if he can keep them up in the Premier League, if he does get the job, he hasn't got the job, and the talks may break down, who knows? McLaren, you know, burst into the room.
McLaren might break down.
Okay, fine. But if Benitez is the next Newcastle United manager and can keep them in the league, you're right, Jim, the next season, surely. I know there's a lot of ifs and buts in there, but surely they wouldn't be in a relegation scrap, and it would be an exciting appointment for them. And also as well, Benitez... people have made a lot, and rightly so, of Mike Ashley and the board and the powers that be at Newcastle United. Well, Benitez, okay, it didn't end well for him, but he's dealt with that at, say, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So he's used to a bit of the nonsense and so on and so forth. So I think if he does get the job, I think it would be a decent appointment.
Yeah, but he's at the same time, for Benitez, though, his reputation does need a bit of rehabilitation because, you know, since Liverpool, it's been a bit of a mixed bag for him. It was a disaster at Inter. Mm-hmm. He did well at Napoli, won the Italian Cup, and also he won stuff at Inter as well, like the Super Cup and things like that. Real Madrid, you know, we all know how that ended. So, you know, he's had some ups and downs and not been truly convincing, really, since, the first maybe two-thirds of his time at Liverpool. So
I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Yeah, but he's...
I'll take it.
But what I mean, though, is that, you know, he's going to be really, really motivated to prove he's still got what it takes, and that can only benefit Newcastle.
Pete, a man who won the Champions League as a manager could be managing Newcastle United.
Incredible scenes.
It really is incredible scenes.
I mean, that is... But Newcastle, this time last week, what?
But Newcastle need to act now because, obviously, they're up against, we would imagine, Norwich and Sunderland. That's what people are saying. If you look at the table, it makes sense. Two from three. Newcastle need to make a big signing in. Benitez bringing him in because Sunderland have recently made a huge signing. They've got Aboué, man.
Aboué's back, isn't he?
Emmanuel Aboué.
For one last salvo.
Imagine that. does that sway your decision, Jim? Not that we're asking you to decide who you want to get relegated. You don't have a decision in this, presumably.
Aboué just is. You know, whether he's in the Premier League or he's in the Championship, he is as Emmanuel Aboué as he's ever going to be. You know, he's just having him nearer is brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm happy the way that he'll be back causing all the funs in the league.
All the funs.
Yeah.
Newcastle, though, they are up against Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, the away win for Newcastle, I mean, it is at the King Power, and it's 11-2 with bet365.com. £10 gets you £65. So, go on, Mitrovic.
Well, yeah, if those players are, you know, playing to impress their new manager, which obviously they didn't do for McLaren.
If McLaren's not in charge.
Yeah, if McLaren's not in charge. I think we can safely say that's very likely.
Well, it depends.
Even if he's physically there.
This is Newcastle United.
Trying to do what I can to boost your morale.
Guaranteed, Monday, something like a yucca plant will be the new manager. It'll just be like a plant from the office. They'll just wheel it out.
Yeah.
Go, this is the new manager, guys.
And there'll be someone in it, like, doing its voice.
Yeah.
But they won't be a football manager.
Yeah.
The way this season is, how ridiculous. You wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle went and won that game. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
the season
absolutely.
Is
That's
that
what I mean.
Crazy.
Marcus, I think I speak for the whole universe when I say I think everyone would be very surprised if they won that game.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Let's move on swiftly then. Bournemouth against Swansea.
Yeah.
These two were in a relegation battle. Well, they still are, of course. But they're looking like they'd stay up now.
They are, yeah.
Thanks to the ineptitude of the other teams.
Both on a little bit of a run. I think it's impressive the way that Bournemouth have just learned to cope with the level that they're playing at now.
Yeah.
Because on the opening day of the season, they lost to Villa. And only now do we realise what a poor result that actually is. And they did look for a time like they were going to be the whipping boys, like they just didn't quite have enough to take it. And then at some point, they've just adapted so well. And it says a lot about Eddie Howe, doesn't it? That he can rise to a challenge like that.
Yeah, we wondered, didn't we, when Bournemouth came up, that great team spirit that they have, that great team solidarity that they have, of course, under Howe, and he's fostered that there. Will it be enough to keep them in the league? And a lot of people were very sceptical, understandably so. I mean, this is a team that stadium isn't even 12,000.
Yeah. Ravaged by injuries.
Yeah,
as well.
they've had some terrible injuries, but they've brought in a few interesting signings. You know, they brought Glenn Murray in, obviously, there, but Benik Afobe's really taken to it, and it's great to see him because he's a very talented player, obviously. So Bournemouth, actually, that solidarity that they've got with the squad of players that they've had largely for a little while now, it's working. You know, now whether it's because other teams have been a bit poor or whatever, you can argue that till the cows come home. I mean, again, Leicester are top of the league because other teams aren't doing as well. Well, you can only beat what's put in front of you, as the old cliche says. And if they stay up in the league, they have that extra money, and they're an exciting team. And actually, they're the type of club, you know, and I've been around there. There's a nice feel to the place, and it, attracting new players, as you know, some clubs find it quite hard to do. If you did walk around that stadium, you would think, "Well, here."
Yeah.
But actually, the feel of the club, the community aspect of it.
Some of the players they've got in are impressive.
Absolutely right. You know, so if they stayed in the league, you know, they really could build something quite interesting. Or they are building something. They have built something interesting.
The fact that we're approaching the middle of March and Bournemouth are favourites against Swansea, if you gave them that at the start of the season.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, the Swans were playing some great stuff at the start of the season, as you say.
Well, they've been on a bit of a run themselves. I mean, they've arrested their slide. Gwendolyn seems to be doing the business. So, yeah. But that's the thing, though, isn't it? There's still a fair portion of the season yet to go.
Yeah.
I mean, if either of these teams loses, there's, you know, every chance that could knock their confidence for a bit. They go on another little bit of a slide, and then you can just get sucked right in. I mean, it always happens, doesn't it? There's a team who looks safe, and they get pulled right into it. And normally it's Newcastle, but they've been trying to do it the other way around this season.
Yeah,
by the looks of it.
They thought, we'll stay in here, and then we'll catapult ourselves out.
Mm. Yeah.
Like they kind of did last season as well, a little bit towards the end.
Catapult's a bit strong.
Clambered.
Jonas Gutierrez scoring a goal on the last game of the season against West Ham.
What a catapult that was. Yeah. Pete, what's our bet of the week?
Our bet of the week with bet365.com. We're going to go for Chelsea to score over 2.5 goals. It's at 5-1. So if you put £10 on, you're going to get £60 back with your stake included. So if we do win a bit of money, we do we give that money to Prostate Cancer UK. And remember, you have to be over the age of 18 to bet. Odds are subject to change. Please gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible and awesome betting, gambleaway.co.uk for that.
There we are. Do we have any emails, Old Sport?
We do have a few emails. Let me just change my window, if that's all right. Can you give us a second?
Absolutely right.
Can you, Phil? Do you want to talk about?
I think that Chelsea are going to score more than 2.5 goals, Jim, away at Everton. But how many will Everton score? It could be a barn burner.
Mm. A barn burner?
They've certainly got goals in them.
Yeah.
They keep doing it. Three all seems to be their sort of normal score that they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Especially if they're winning 3-2 in the last minute and then, you know, decide to just celebrate early.
Uh-huh. How's your window looking, Pete?
It's looking all right. Do you want to talk about the old 4-4 tunes?
Yes.
Yeah, you talk about 4-4 tunes for a bit, yeah?
Checkers. You really are struggling there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I am. I thought I'd put
you
it...
are the computer,
problem is,
man. What's
the
going
problem,
on?
The computer, my Word document crashed. So I had to put it in a Gmail document and then it's on a different Gmail account to the Bet365, Bet of the Week, etc., etc.
Uh-huh.
But the important thing is, Dean at 4-4 Tunes has put together a beautiful rendition of the island I spoke of on Monday.
Your little Steve McLaren's Hair Island documentary. He's made a cartoon of it, hasn't he?
Which is where it belongs.
I think so.
Yeah, get online. YouTube.com/ Football Ramble or YouTube.com/ 4-4 Tunes. He's a very talented man who does some fantastic animations every week. I've got the emails up, guys.
Yay!
There we go. Hello to Andy in Tokyo. Always lovely to hear from someone from Tokyo. Dear Football Ramblers, last week on the show you mentioned that Jay Bothroyd popping up in the J-League, winning promotion at J1 with Jubilo Iwata. You might be interested to know that Mr. Bothroyd has rebranded himself and is going only by the name of Jay.
Oh.
With a shirt to match, and is generally being referred to in the Japanese media as England's Jay by virtue of his solitary England cap. This may be partly dictated by the challenges of pronouncing Bothroyd for the Japanese. It comes out the Bosoridio. But journeyman English footballers, even capped ones, are rarely presumptuous enough to try and pull off a first name only strategy. You get away with it, I think, if you're Brazilian or South American.
I like that, though. That's good. Yeah.
Work with what you got.
Yeah, in Busoridio's recent match against Urawa Reds, some friends and I pondered the sheer arrogance of this for a good 2 minutes until we noticed that his opposite number up front for Reds simply has Zlatan on his shirt.
Oh my goodness.
From now on, whenever I hear someone mention the name Zlatan, I will feel compelled to ask which one.
That's a high risk strategy.
That very much.
What if he finds out?
He's going to kick your head
off. Kick your head off, absolutely. Yeah,
blowing head off.
We've seen he can do it.
I think Jay's okay to do, but if it was another English player like Wayne,
like Malcolm,
Andy, Steve. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah. We got an email from JP Volakwe. Volakwe. That's what I'm going to go for. Ahoy the Ramble. After the mention of Federico Higuain in Monday's show, I thought Pete would be interested to know about another notable relation playing in the MLS, Dairon Asprilla.
Oh.
Son of Tino.
Is he?
Wow.
Well, according to JP.
Okay.
Don't call our listeners
liars. Not opening another window to Google it. He's a regular starter for the Portland Timbers. Thankfully, we've yet to see any off-pitch antics that equal Faustino in his pomp. Fur coats and perpetual rain don't exactly mix. On the field, he's known for footwork and assists from the wing, but he also blasted a rocket into the FC Dallas goal during the Timbers' march to the Cup last year. I mean, to be fair, I've seen the videos, I've had a look around, and he looks quite the footballer. And he is quite stringy-looking. Mm. He has got those crazy spaghetti legs, so I reckon.
Evidence stacking up.
Yeah, I reckon so. If not, his mum's got a few things to say. Maybe I don't know with that name. David Harkins says my highlight of the week was finding out that Harve Renard translates to Harvey Fox. Foxy, he says. Yeah.
Did you know that, Marcus? Because you very much think Harvey that anyway.
No, I didn't know.
No,
Harvey Fox.
But I'm not surprised.
Harvey Fox.
Isn't he
in Batman? Harvey Dent. Harvey Dent. Yeah. There we go. Mm. For now.
Still not sure about that Asprilla being.
Did you just Google on your phone or not?
No.
Well, either you had your phone in your hand.
Maybe he doesn't say anything about it. If I'm wrong, fair enough, but I'm not sure.
Perhaps we'll commission a paternity test and get you the answer next week.
Yeah, Tino's not going to know.
Yeah, true. I'm very certain that any of us could get some of his, you know, genetic material from him without him realising and do a test.
Right.
Well put, Jim.
Right, let's do Siri. Hang on. Does Faustino Asprilla have a son? Right.
I thought Siri was
Siri. What's happened to you, Pete? You can't open a window, you can't get your phone to work.
Peter, can you stop asking me that, please?
Can I be his son? The problem being is that they never like the northeastern accent, so I've got posting Esprit have a son, so it didn't work. Never mind. Finally, for now, Aberdeen Mad wants to know on Twitter.
Yeah.
Marcus, have you given up on the Scottish Fitba for the season? There's actually a title race going on.
I know there is, and I was saving that for the show next week.
Of course you were. A likely story.
I mean, this man is called Aberdeen Mad, so I presume Aberdeen are in there, there or thereabouts.
He'd be better off if he was Aberdeen Sane.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So where are Aberdeen?
Like a really terrible David Bowie tribute.
It's up north in Scotland.
Yeah, very north.
Very much. Not as high as Wick.
But there are a couple of points off.
One point off the
Celts.
Yeah, it's very much on. I mean, we're in March, people.
How's the Hearts title push going?
Hearts are doing all right. I mean, you've got to remember, Jim, it's the first season back in the top flight of Scottish football. But they're still in there. Hang on, how many Champions League places does Scotland get? I think they're in a Champions League place. They're third, currently.
Okay.
I think that's even Europa League place in poor old Scotland.
They didn't lose their coefficient.
No.
Goodness me.
No, dearie me. That's it, isn't it, everybody? We've come to the end of the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Thank you for listening thus far, or this far, rather, to this particular show. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is at Football Ramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Marcus.
Goodbye from me.
I'm closing my windows now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.